If you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. And when you found that, also please turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter number 2. Isaiah began writing probably 750, 800 years before the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. God spoke to him, had him write these words in Isaiah chapter number 9 and in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, for unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We turn over to the book of Luke chapter 2 now. We find in verse number 8, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. It's amazing, isn't it, how the Isaiah was led of God to write some 750, 800 years before Jesus was ever born, that he would be called the Prince of Peace. And at the birth of Christ, as he was born, those angels appeared to the shepherds and said, Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Praise God, Jesus Christ is our Prince of Peace. Father, now we ask that you would help us as we enter into this time of preaching, this time of worship, that you'd stir us by the Holy Ghost and help us today to preach, be enlightened with understanding that only the Holy Ghost can grant or give. Anoint us, Father, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, certainly a name is a title by which one person is designated from another. Your name may be Jerry, it may be Tom, it may be Dan, it may be Darren, but it's one way for us to tell people and places and things apart. We have names for them. And in our day, names no longer hold a whole lot of significance. But in the New Testament and the Old Testament days, they were very significant. William Shakespeare, I think he said that a rose by any other name would smell just as sweet. I know that there was a lady one day, she was driving, she was very pregnant, she was driving to see her parents in the hospital, and someone T-boned her, wrecked her car, knocked her out. They rushed her to the hospital. She was in a coma. She was able to deliver the child. About 2 months she was in a coma. She woke up from the coma. The doctor came in. She was screaming, Where's my baby? She'd noticed the baby was gone and was very concerned for her baby's safety. And the doctor said, Ma'am, I'll have you to know that you were able to deliver the baby. In fact, you had babies. They were twins in your womb, and you were able to deliver them during the coma. And she was amazed at that, and she was so thankful. And she said, Are they still here at the hospital? And he said, No, the family has them, and your brother named them so they could take them home. And she said, He named them, my brother. My brother's not really all there. What did he name my children? Said, Well, he named your little girl Denise. That's not too bad. What do you name my son? The nephew. Oh, no, that woman shrieked. She said, That's my brother. That's just the way he does. Listen, I want us to think first of all about the name of Jesus. He is the Prince of Peace. Now, the word name, or the word translated name, it means mark. It means brand. The book of Proverbs tells us in chapter 22, verse number 1, that a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. In Luke chapter 1, verse 31, the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary and said, Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Hey, before Jesus was ever born, God named his son, amen? And his name means Jehovah saves, or the Lord saves. It also says his name is Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You realize there are at least about 200 and some names in the Bible for Jesus? Listen to some of them. There's Alpha, the bread of life, Christ, the deliverer, eternal life, the faithful witness, the gift of God, the high priest, I am that I am, Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, the mighty God, the Nazarene, the Omega, the Prince of peace, the Redeemer, the Son of God, our Savior, the true God, the unspeakable gift, the vine, the way, and he is Zion. I can go on and on about the names of Jesus. In Luke 2:14, we just read it to you, the angels proclaim peace toward men on the earth, okay? Peace toward men on the earth. But Jesus, as Prince of Peace, he proclaims peace to our hearts. What happens when the Prince of Peace comes to your heart? You know what the word prince means? It means ruler. It means the one that is the author. It means the captain. It means the leader. In other words, God is not the author of confusion, but God is the author, the captain, the leader of peace. Praise God for that. When Jesus came to this world, born there, Romans were in charge. There was oppression. There was devastation. There was affliction to the Jews. When Jesus was born, it was a time of oppression. But even greater than the Roman oppression, sin was oppressing mankind. Sin had weighted down this old world, amen. Yet the Prince of Peace was born that sin might be removed. The Bible tells us that Jesus is our peace. For he is our peace, Ephesians 2:14 says, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Let me say, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus has brought to us peace. The angel says, on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Praise God, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Number two, I want you to see the price of peace. Not only has Jesus brought peace, but he bought peace. How did he accomplish this peace? Understand, he purchased our peace by shedding his blood, by his vicarious death upon the cross of Calvary. Hey, you and I were sinners. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but praise God through Jesus Christ. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Colossians 1:20 says this, says, having made peace through the blood of his cross. You know what sin does? It causes broken homes. It causes broken families. It causes problems. It causes devastation. It causes destruction. It causes mayhem. You think about the situations that you've dealt with this week or even yet this month, and I promise you you've gone through trouble, trauma and turmoil and trial. And you know why? It's because of sin. Sin abounds, amen. But praise God, where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. Why? Because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came to this earth, amen, so we didn't have to live in sin's bondage, so we didn't have to live under oppression, so we didn't have to go through affliction. He came and he bought us peace. We could have never earned it. Hey, wouldn't it be great if somebody gave you a wonderful gift for Christmas? Maybe they gave you a shirt. Maybe they gave you a tie. Maybe they gave you a new pair of shoes. Maybe they gave you a nice fat check. No matter what it was, they gave you a gift. Praise God, but they could not buy you peace. Peace is something only Jesus Christ could buy. Only Jesus Christ could bring to you. Listen, I may have went out and sweated my brow and worked my fingers to their blood raw to buy you a really nice present and give you something with tokens of affection and tokens of love. But no matter what I've given you and no matter what I've done for you, I could not accomplish peace for you. The only one that could ever give you peace is Jesus Christ. I dare say there are some of you this morning that you're in the house of God. And the truth be known, you've not had a peaceful week. You've not even had a peaceful night. Why, I woke up during the night last night at least 8 or 10 times, stressing, praying, anxious over preaching this message today. I'm telling you what, I wrestled and wrestled throughout the night. And I thought, oh, Lord, you're the Prince of Peace. And I'm preaching on that in the morning. But praise God, when I started calling on Him, peace came in like a river in the middle of the night, in the middle of my anxiousness, in the middle of my worries, in the middle of my concern. Aren't you glad, praise God, that He has bought our peace? Social Security can't give you peace. Your CD in the bank can't give you peace. Your job can't give you peace. Your family can't give you peace. Only Jesus Christ can give you peace. And I bless His holy name this morning. The Bible says in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid the price of peace. Number three, I want you to see the promise of peace. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 14. And we want to look this morning in verse number 27. This beautiful promise of peace. The Bible says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. What a precious promise of peace. Now, Jesus is the one who brought peace. Jesus is the one who bought peace. And right here, Jesus has taught peace. In fact, there's promise after promise in the Word of God. I particularly like that one in chapter 14, verse number 1, where He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. Thomas asked the question, Lord, how can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Boy, those verses oftentimes have brought peace to your soul and to my soul. It is a precious promise from the Word of God. But let's explore verse 27 at this promise where He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now, Preacher Darren, just exactly what does that mean? Oh, it's interesting, I believe. I want us to think for a minute. In World War I had ravaged the continent of Europe. Devastation was on every hand. Thousands upon thousands of people had been killed. The ground was covered with destruction from town to town to town. The French, the Americans, and the British were there battling against Europe. The Western Front was being annihilated. Things were terrible. And the winter had blanketed Europe with snow and ice. Civilians were on the home front, were worried to death about what was going to happen. Nobody had anything to eat. Shortages of food, shortages of fuel. What was going to happen? It seemed like this war would go on and on and on forever. But realize what happened in 1914 on Christmas Eve. The two sides called a truce for one day. The Christmas truce. Jesus brought peace. Christmas is a celebration of the birth of Christ. And the Germans, the English, the French, and the Americans all stopped fighting for one day long enough that they might join in a celebration and listen and have a day of peace over the birth of Christ. Isn't that amazing? As darkness settled in that night, as the gunfire faded, the silence of the night was filled by voices of the Germans as they began to sing Christmas carols. The English and the French and the Americans began to join in and they began to sing carols. One by one, men were lifting up their heads out of foxholes. That was certainly a death sentence if you did that. But we've declared a Christmas truce. Did you know they came out of their foxholes? They met side by side, shook hands, embraced on the battlefield. showed pictures of their families. They gave gifts of rations one to another. What a blessing, a Christmas truce. But the problem was, as soon as that day had ended, the war started again. The great peace had one problem. It lacked permanence. You see, Jesus doesn't just give you peace for a day. Jesus will give you peace that's permanent. Now, some of you, you're up and down on peace. And I know we're in the flesh, and we all do that. But Jesus came to give you peace. Permanent peace. Not just a day or two here, there, yonder, or not just on Christmas Day. This is the day we're going to resolve that we're not going to argue, we're not going to fuss, we're not going to fight, not going to have a crossword. In fact, most families on Christmas, they do fuss and fight. They do get around each other and say, oh, I brought us together. Why are we here? You're stressed out. Hey, say amen. I've got you dead to right. I'll give an invitation in a minute. You know I'm telling it right. Here's our problem. We think of peace as the absence of hostility. But the word Prince of Peace, the word shalom, is much deeper than the absence of hostility. Shalom, absolutely, this is what it means. It means security, prosperity, and total well-being. It is all is right within, and all is out right without. You know the deepest longing of your heart, truthfully, is peace. If I could, Preacher Darren, if I could just get peace about cancer, if I could just get peace about my job, if I could just get peace about what we're going through, I'd feel so much better. Amen? Oh, I see preaching right here. Junior Seau, y'all know who he is? He was selected 12 times to the Pro Bowl. NFL football player for the San Diego Chargers and finally went and signed with the Miami Dolphins. Selected 12 times to the Pro Bowl. At the age of, I think, 42 or 3, he retired from football. When he did, I want you to know that soon he began to have all kind of problems and he went and committed suicide. They did an autopsy, scans of his brain. He had chronic brain damage. But his friend, his name is Rodney Harrison. This is what he said. Junior said that when he was with his kids or he was out on the surf on the beach, he was at peace. Junior longed for a place where there was no stress, no worries, no problems, no concerns, where he could just forget about everything. I'm promising you that Jesus is our peace. No matter what you face, if you are in Jesus, you can have peace. You think peace is the absence of hostility and problems. You got to understand, Jesus is peace when there are problems. Jesus is peace in the midst of problems. He has given us the promise of peace. You see, the world gives peace for one day and takes it away. But Jesus gives peace forevermore, every day. Jesus is our peace. So Jesus brought peace, Jesus bought peace, and Jesus taught peace. Last of all, and I'm done, I want you to understand that Jesus wrought peace. You understand, number four, we see the prize of peace. In John 16, verse 33, one more beautiful promise, but it's the prize of peace. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Up Calvary's hill he marched, carrying a cross, my sin
and your sin. His body ravaged and wrecked with epic injuries, wounds, and pain, suffering and humiliation. Yet every step he took and every breath he drew, he was at peace, because he knew he was going to lead many sons to glory. And he gave his life on the cross, said to his Father, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He knew he could trust the Father. And after 3 days, on that first day of the week, up from the grave, our Savior arose. Hear me. Jesus did not come to make peace with sin. There's your problem. You believe that we must make peace with sin, that we must tolerate it, therefore making peace. That's not how you make peace with sin. Jesus made peace by defeating sin, causing sin to humble and bow itself to forgive our sin, washing it all away. Corrie ten Boom said this: when I look at the world, I get distressed. When I look at myself, I get depressed. But when I look at Jesus, I am perfectly at rest. As the Prince of Peace, Jesus removes hostility. Jesus removes hatred. He turns chaos into comfort. He turns turmoil into tranquility. He turns problems into peace. Think about it in Mark 4. Turn there, please. Jesus grants peace to our circumstances at times. You remember the story? The disciples were in the boat. Now they're in a storm. Circumstances are not favorable. They're very upsetting, causing a lot of problems. Jesus got up, the Bible says in verse 39, after he heard them say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Oh, I believe there's somebody here that says, Lord, don't you care about what I'm going through? Don't you care about my conditions? Oh, the Bible said in verse 39 that he arose. Well, that'll do. He arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. The wind ceased and there was a great calm. Oh, aren't you glad that Jesus can calm your circumstances? Jesus can calm your conditions. Yeah, but Preacher Darren, I believe he can do that. But it seems like he always does it for others and he never does it for me. Amen. Please understand that not every storm is Jesus going to calm. There are times that he needs to calm you and let the storm rage on. In chapter 5 of the book of Mark, we see a man whose name was Legion, filled with demons. And the Lord cast those demons out of him. And in verse 15, they came to Jesus and saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. What happened? Jesus gave him peace. Oh, aren't you glad for the day that Jesus gave you peace? In verse 33, there was a woman with an issue of blood. She came and touched the hem of his garment. Verse 34, he saith unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Oh, aren't you glad that you can cast all your care upon him because he cares for you? Why, Preacher Darren, he is our peace. After Jesus died on that cross and they saw him buried, put in that tomb and the stone rolled in front of it, when the women went and saw that the stone was removed and the tomb was empty, they ran and told everybody, Jesus is alive, Jesus is alive. Peter and John ran down there. They saw the body of Jesus was no longer there. But that night in John 20, turn there, that night in John 20, they were scared to death. The Bible said they had locked the doors on that Sunday evening. They did not know what was going to befall them. Verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Isn't it amazing how he has the ability to just walk into your life when it seems like you're all locked in? I mean, there's problems abounding, anxiety within, and he just walks in and says, peace be unto you. I'm telling you something this morning, church. I don't know who you are, but the Lord, on the authority of God's word, the Lord laid on my heart this week to come tell you, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the author of peace, and he wants to give it to you. He said, peace be unto you. Now, I'm talking, first of all, to the lost man. Can I get a witness? He'll give peace to your troubled soul. But then to the saved man, there's something about having peace with God, but there's something else about having the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Preacher Darren, tell me about that. I wish I could. But if I did and I could, you wouldn't understand it anyway. It passes all our understanding. It's too much for our words to even explain it. When he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Isn't it wonderful when we see a Christ that had once been crucified? When we see Jesus, there's peace. Preacher Darren, what I need to do? Quit looking at the problems. Look at Jesus. Look what he's done. He died for you. He died for your sins. He died for your victory. He died for your triumph. Next verse. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. I close here. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the peacemaker. Jesus is the peace speaker. Jesus is the peace giver. Jesus is the peace keeper. He has divine calm for all of those that place their trust in him.